happy Easter. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so honored that you have joined us this Easter morning. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind the small group, Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. This small group meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Ladies, set aside your Saturday morning and join us for Gather on May 2nd at 9:30 a.m. in the lobby. This women's only event brings women of all ages together for a sweet time of conversation, food, and an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. Let us know that you'll be there by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen or by heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And please remember, there will not be childcare for this event. We cannot wait to gather with you.
If you've decided to follow Jesus, then your next step is baptism. Baptism is a public declaration that your old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. It's through baptism that we share in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the transformation that he brings. If you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center to sign up. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. I'm excited to announce Serve Day 2026. Now, right now, what we're doing is we're letting you know about all the projects that we want to do this year. And what we need from you is to go take a look at all the projects and then sign up for the one that you would like to help serve in. Now, we have a lot of projects, and there's two ways that you can find out about them. The first is by utilizing the QR code on the screen right now. If you go to that QR code, it'll take you to a page that'll list all of the different projects, or you can visit our Serve Day displays in the main lobby or in the hallway heading towards Children's Church. You'll see flyers with information about each individual project that includes a QR code to a short video giving you a little bit of an explanation about that individual project, as well as a QR code to sign up for that project. So make sure you take your time to go look at them. Each project depends on you. If we don't get volunteers, we can't do the project. So please go take a look and pick the ones that resonate the most with your heart. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Come on out on Sunday, May 17th for our annual church picnic at the Bakken's Park following our morning service. The church is providing hamburgers and hot dogs, and we are asking each family to bring a side dish to share. So stick around, grab a plate, enjoy some food and fun and connection as we spend some time together as a church family. We cannot wait to see you there and spend some time together.
And as always, if you want any more information about anything going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody happy this morning? Woo! Amen. We have a lot to be happy and thankful for. I, for one, am thankful that my feet have now worn back up from this morning's sunrise service. Whew. Wow, how many was out there for sunrise? We had about 200 people out there this morning, and thank God that my wife had to preach that out there, not me, so it was good. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm Pastor Randy here, a senior pastor of the church. Me and my wife, we shepherd all these people here together, and it is a privilege and an honor to do so. So thank you guys for coming out today for Easter. Those of you who are new, we have been doing a series for the last several weeks. It's called the I Am series. Jesus had made some statements. He said, I am, several different times. And so we're going to continue that today. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up somewhere in the New Testament. I'll tell you where in a minute. If you don't have a Bible, you know, I was going to not say this, but I think I'm going to say this because it was kind of funny at the time. Somebody said, man, we forgot our Bibles. We have to go get them. I said, well, if you were the one that was just here at Christmas, it's still out there. You can come back and get it for Easter. And it's just, we save them for you. So funny. That's okay. So when I was greeting some people today, one of the ladies said, you want to hear a joke, Pastor Randy? I said, sure, I'd like to hear a joke. He said, why did Jesus never ride bicycles when he was going in and out and through towns? I said, well, I don't know why. He said, because, man, he kept breaking every chain. I was like, I like that. I like that a lot. That was good. no, I said, I got one for you. And she said, okay. I said, I was Friday night at the Good Friday service. There was a lady that came up to me, and she was talking. And another guy said, well, you look really nice today. And she said, well, I look really nice. Are you kidding me? He said, yeah, you're looking good. She said, no, man, I'm big, I'm fat and everything. I said, whoa, easy, be careful there. I said, because you got to be careful. You don't get too big, because some people are so big, it's hard to lift them up in prayer. So you got to be careful. Be careful, yeah. Anyhow, okay. I'm going to stick to my day job, all right? Praise the Lord. So today we're talking what Jesus said, the fifth one. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so that's what we're talking about today. It's found in the Gospel of John. There's seven different I am statements. And how interesting would it have been to see Jesus walk into a room and just give us advice about life, but then also claim to be the very thing that we need the most. Having pretty good. Some of us have been like, wow, that's amazing. But then other people are like, well, who's this dude think he is? I don't know who this guy is. What do you mean he's what I need? And the thing is he didn't just say, I will show you the way. He said, I am the way. He also didn't just say that I will give you life. He said, I am the life. So those are some crazy statements that he made, and a lot of people really just didn't understand that. And he said those things at different times when people were in need, when people had a crisis. He said those different seven I am statements. And I said several weeks ago that in the Gospel of John, he wanted to show us that Jesus was the Messiah. He was trying to tell everybody that he was the Savior. Not just that he was a healer, not just that he was a prophet, but that he was the Savior. He wanted those people to find out. So he did a lot of things different in the book of John than the synoptic gospels did. Synoptic just means the same. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have same stories, same similar statements, but John is pretty much completely different. He even had different stories, different miracles that he talked about. And the thing about John is this also. He just didn't say the word miracles. He used the word sign. Sign. And it wasn't by accident. It was on purpose. It wasn't an error when they was writing the Bible. He called them signs and not miracles. He did it intentionally. Because a miracle highlights the supernatural act itself. Wow, look what Jesus did. Man, he opened those people's eyes. That's great. It talks about the miracle, but John wanted you to see more than the miracle. When John calls them signs, he is pointing to something greater. He is saying, hey, just don't stop at the miracle. I want you to look what this means about who Jesus says he is. So it goes deeper, much deeper. A sign points to something, does it not? Absolutely. The miracle is great. But the miracles weren't intended to impress anybody. It was intended to show you or point you to the healer, the miracle worker. That's what the miracles were for. So when John talks about Jesus feeding the thousands of people with five loaves and two fishes, he just isn't focused on the miracle. He is focused on the sign. This is the sign that Jesus is the bread of life. This is a sign that he is the only one who can satisfy your deepest spiritual needs and give you lasting life. That's what he was trying to point to. And the thing was, is all those people didn't get it. Because when they was all hungry, he fed everybody. We all knew what happened. Then all the people got excited. Whoa, they wanted to make him king. Yo, you're going to be the king, man. Why did they want him king? Was because they thought that he was the bread of life? No. Because they know that he could satisfy their needs, their wants, their physical hunger. They didn't get it. So that's when Jesus turned it on them and said, oh, yeah, well, if you want to follow me, you got to eat my leg bone. You got to drink my blood. And half of them said, this guy's nuts. I told you, Martha, he was crazy. Let's get out of here. And he lost a lot of disciples on that day because they didn't understand. It's not just about the miracle. It's about who he is. All right, praise the Lord. Hunger, blindness, no guidance, darkness, uncertainty, searching for meaning, disconnection. These are all the things and more that Jesus said he is the cure or the answer for. That's powerful because we all deal with one of those things. But a lot of people today, they think they are self-sufficient in who they are. You hear a lot of people say, I don't need nobody. I don't need nobody. It's just me. I depend on myself. I can take care of myself. It's all me. Okay, well, I understand that. I can be hungry. I don't care. I'm going to take care of myself. Well, that's great. But what about death? What about death? I wonder if you can handle that. Some people believe that death is just the end of consciousness. Well, what if it isn't? What if it isn't? Some believe in reincarnation. Death leads to continued existence in another form. What I find interesting about that statement is even the smartest computers in the world that can reason and simulate logical thinking have a big problem with that theory. Yeah, it's crazy. But Jesus made a claim that nobody else in history has made, and Jesus did something that nobody else in history has ever done. Now you can turn to John, the 11th chapter. John, the 11th chapter. If you have your Bibles, you can check that out, or we got the stuff on the screen for you as well. It says in John, the 11th chapter, remember, Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. We all have heard the story. He was sick, and he was in a town called Bethany. Now, he was Mary and Martha's brother, and they sent word to Jesus that he was sick because Jesus wasn't there. He was far away across the Jordan River. Well, when Jesus got the word, he didn't go right away. He stayed two more days, and most of us know this when we read the story. And what's crazy about it is Jesus was a real good friend of Lazarus. Jesus loved Lazarus. It wasn't just an acquaintance. Every time Jesus did ministry, he would stop by their house, they'd feed him, he probably spent the night there, things of that nature. They got to know each other really, really well. So they loved Jesus, they believed in Jesus, and they knew what he could do. So they said, yo, he's sick. You got to get here. You know, how would you like to have a friend that loved you so much that when you needed him, he waited 2 days before he called you back? As some friend. How many guys have got those friends? Nope, raise your hands. I'm sorry. Raise your hand. Oh, that'd be kind of rough. It'd be kind of rough. So in John, the 11th chapter, verse 11, it says this. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But I go that I may wake him up. And then the disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Notice what Jesus says about death, how he views death. He views it as sleep. Pretty interesting. He did it again in another part of the scripture when he healed a girl. She just sleeps. And again, they thought he was crazy as well. And he had to get him out of the room. Get out of here. You don't believe in people. He says it's sleep. And death is feared by so many people, but Jesus says it's not final if you know him. That right there should give us great hope. Great hope indeed. So let's move on to verse 14. Then Jesus said to them plainly, because they did not understand what he was saying, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, what Jesus meant by that verse is this. If Jesus would have went to where Lazarus was while he was sick, what would have happened? Jesus would have done what he always did. He would have healed Lazarus. It would have been that simple. Laid hands on him, bam, he would have been healed. Ah, but, remember what he said. It's good that I was not there. Here's why. By arriving when Lazarus was already dead for 4 days, then raising him from the dead after 4 days, wouldn't that be a sign of something more or greater than just a miracle? after 4 days? Come on now. It would point to him as having authority, yes, over sickness, but it would also point him to having authority also over death. And it was 4 days because a lot of us know, if we do our studies, that the Jews had this weird superstition that the spirit of a person would still hover over them for 3 days. But after the fourth day, finally they were dead. So that's why Jesus waited those 4 days, so they wouldn't go, it was only 3 days, it was only 2 days, 1 day, or whatever, because of those superstitions. But wouldn't him waiting and then raising the Lazarus after 4 days, would that not strengthen the disciples' faith and belief in him even more, even though they saw him do all those things that he did? Oh, it would take it to another level, for sure. And it did. And I think it also shows that God's timing can serve a bigger purpose than immediate relief. And when I say that, I know some people get a little restless. Well, he didn't do that for me. He didn't do this on time. He didn't do it the way I wanted it. He didn't say this, forget him. You know, if he don't care about me like that, he waited 2 days for them. He ain't waiting on me either. Listen, we don't understand what God does because his ways are so far above ours. We don't know what's going on in the situation. So if you haven't got yours yet, if you're still waiting, you only got it partially, don't stop, don't give up, don't give in, because you don't know the full scope. He does. Just keep standing, and when you've done all to stand, keep standing. Stand on the word. What else are you going to stand on? Stand on Jesus, because it's not over yet. John 11, verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. But Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, and here it is. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, or you could insert sleep right there, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? If I could have had that on reverb, I'd have made it so loud it would have popped in your gut. But I didn't want to hurt those guys today. Because that is the question I am asking every single one of you this morning. And that is the same question that Jesus is asking every single one of you this morning. Do you believe this? That he is the resurrection and the life. Here's the deal. Everybody believes something about death. I mean, either you believe you're going to come back as a canary, or that you just aren't going to exist at all when you die. You know, some people, and this is crazy, some people have actually told me that when I die, I'm going to split hell wide open. Have you ever had people say that to you when you're witnessing to them? Split hell. You know how ludicrous that statement is? That's like running in front of a firing squad with a flag and say, hey, I'm volunteering. That's how ludicrous. Some of you might get that after your second cup of coffee. How ludicrous that statement is. It's so absurd. But most people believe that when they die, when you talk to them, that they're going to go to heaven. And then you got some weirdos that think when they get to heaven, there's going to be a bunch of virgins sitting there waiting on them. People believe the weirdest stuff. Crazy. All right. Well, I know this. Death is the only appointment that you will never be able to cancel. You won't be able to cancel that appointment. It's coming. And on that day, your name will be said for the last time, and you won't be there to hear it. I see these flowers, and I almost think of a funeral. All right. It's supposed to meant to be beautiful. So it's not a funeral, I promise. You know, but you won't be there to hear that the last time. And it will be too late to answer that question Jesus asked Martha. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Because at that moment, it will already be revealed what you believed. It's too late then. It's appointed once for everybody to die and then the judgment. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I don't want to hear that. And I know none of you want to hear that either. He is asking, now again, when we come to Martha, he's not asking Martha to get it all together. He's not asking her, do you believe everything that I'm saying? Do you understand everything that I'm saying? Because she didn't. She didn't understand everything. It was kind of complex. But she was confused as well. She was a little upset. Well, if he had showed up, I think that's how she said it. I don't know. You know, he wouldn't have died. You know, why did you wait 2 or 3 days? What's going on? So she didn't have all the answers. Jesus didn't ask her to have all the answers figured out. He simply said, will you trust me in the face of death? And what does she say? She said, yes. But this is why John calls the miracle a sign, because it points beyond the miracle. Beyond the miracle. See, here's the deal. Lazarus will die again. So it wasn't about one man coming out of a tomb. Wasn't. Because he's going back to the tomb. The sign is that Jesus doesn't just interrupt death, but that he defeats it. He defeats death. Man, you can come on back up here. Here's the situation. Easter isn't just about Jesus coming out of his grave. It's about him getting you out of yours. That's right, yeah, amen. It is, that's it. That's what Easter's about. That's what it's about. And if Jesus is the resurrection and the life, which he is, that simply means, along with death not being final, guess what else isn't final? No failure is final. Yeah. No habit is too strong that cannot be broken or destroyed. No relationship is too broken that can't be healed. No heart is too hard that cannot be softened. No calling is too late to begin. If the grave couldn't hold Jesus, then your past can't hold you. Come on. Come on. Can't. Impossible. Impossible. So here's the deal. I want you to listen to some testimonies of some people who one time or another found this church, walked in to those back doors just like you, came into this sanctuary, sat down in one of these pews and one of those risers just like you. But something happened over time. Those people found new life where things seemed dead, seem lost, and seem like there was no hope. Just like you. I want you to listen Let's listen together these testimonies. Because God's not a respecter of person. And after you hear these testimonies, see what he'll do for you.
Spoken over me back in 2013. It said that it is time for you to go forward in freedom. At that time, I really didn't know what she was talking about. It would be years later that everything would start to come together and make sense. At age 5, I was sexually abused. I remember nearly every detail of that evening. It was just one time, but lasted hours. I had nightmares frequently. I didn't want to sleep with all the lights off and wanted to keep my door open. I remember that the police came to my house and I just froze. I knew all the details, but I couldn't tell them. I struggled with friends and I didn't perform my best at school. I also struggled in college and ended up not graduating with a teaching license. I continued on and was doing okay until I had to work in a kindergarten classroom. It brought back too many memories. I even struggled at church and ended up quitting children's church. I couldn't tell anyone at the time why. In fact, quitting ended up being something that was a trend in my life. When something got hard, I would just quit. I continued to struggle through marriages that failed, and my personal safety became an issue after these marriages. I tried everything I knew to make them work. And then I began to consistently attend small groups. God started to slowly get a hold of me and my heart. I changed and truly started to take small groups a bit more seriously, and I started to become more comfortable sharing with others. Small groups are now part of my life, and as I look back, part of my freedom too. A few groups later, I attended the forgiveness group. This one unlocked freedom in me. It seemed like almost weekly, God did something new. I believe that one night before group, God told me to go and get a yellow Gatorade. I finally shared that I was sexually abused to my group, and I took a sip of the Gatorade. That was a tough one, but it symbolized so much to me because my abuser had bribed me with Gatorade, and that sip that night was freedom. When I left church, I saw all the beautiful daffodils and realized they were a symbol of forgiveness. They are still one of my favorite flowers, and I look forward to them popping up each year. I thought I was truly free from child abuse and divorce, but I still wasn't. At a series of events happened that just made me hit nearly rock bottom. I felt like I was not in control of my life. My pastors, friends, and mentors had done so much for me, but I was at a time that I needed some professional help. I signed up for counseling, and it was an amazing decision. Right now, I'm the best I've ever been in my entire life. I'm focused, my mind is clear. I honestly don't even feel like the same person. I even wrote a personal letter to my abuser and forgave him. I'm no longer oppressed. Freedom has come into my life to make me whole. None of this has just happened overnight. It has taken years. It has been a process. I've had the opportunity to help and lead small groups. I'm even sharing my story now with you, something I would have never imagined. I'm so thankful for the small groups. I'm thankful for the support of everyone at my church. I know and believe God is a good God to me, and I'm finally free.
Like he said he would. Watch him turn hard drive. I grew up knowing God through tradition, repeated prayers and words I sometimes didn't fully understand but faithfully spoke. I learned to lean on those traditions, believing that if I followed them well enough, I would be worthy in God's eyes. I wanted my children to grow up in a church because I did. I wanted to make sure we all made it to heaven. I was becoming exhausted trying to earn my salvation and worried about my family too.
I didn't have a traditional upbringing. When I heard people describe God as loving and forgiving, I struggled to connect with that. I hadn't experienced that kind of love in my own life. I wrestled with believing God was even there. I never felt complete. I thought I was leaving my family, but I wasn't. I led with anger and control. I tried to fill emptiness with comforts of the world, and I convinced myself that people liked me better when I drank. After I got out of the Marine Corps, I bought a motorcycle that quickly became my identity. I convinced myself that this was where I would feel complete. I started looking for clubs and trying to find my place. One day, while riding down the highway, I saw a group of bikers wearing cuts that said priesthood. I couldn't shake it. I went home and told my wife I should join. After all, it was a church-based, but even then, it would take me several more years before I finally reached out and texted the chapter president.
Following tradition made me become rigid and prude. I would recite prayers written for someone else's heart, believing they would heal my family. John had finally reached out to that Christian motorcycle group, and they had invited him to their church. I was happy he was hanging out with men of good character, but worried about what the church would teach him. So I prayed a real prayer from my own heart. God quickly filled my eyes with deep darkness and drew in neon lights, a structure I'd never seen before. I'd assumed it was the blueprints for the house we were building, but I'd never felt something so strong and warm and safe.
The motorcycle ministry invited me to a brotherhood breakfast. Pastor Kylan's message was about being a man in your marriage and family, words I had probably heard before, but never registered. I immediately felt convicted to change my life, to lead my family the way God wanted me to. I was surrounded by strong men that shared the identity I was searching for.
John came home and looked me in the eyes and said, "I have to apologize. I haven't been the husband God created me to be." He said he was never going back to the man he was. John then asked me to attend this church with him that Sunday, and I said I would, but I had to warn them. Churches like that don't set you up for the path to salvation. When we got to the church, we sat in the back. Pastor Nicole noticed that we were new. When she introduced herself, I asked her questions about the church's beliefs, thinking she would give me the wrong answers. And of course she didn't. She responded with respect and pure love. We sat and watched the church worshiping with lifted hands and praying out loud from their hearts. To me, the first time I'd ever seen heaven on earth.
We are approaching our 2-year anniversary here at Only Believe. My family is finally happy and free of our chains. God has given us so many blessings and shows us our purpose every day. I am proud to lead my family in Christ. I am thankful for a church that helps guide me and for giving me a place that finally feels at home.
When we attended the Growth Track class, we were given a black coffee mug with the outline of the church sketched on the front of the mug. I held the mug in awe. It took me back to the time in prayer when I was praying for my family's salvation. This is what he was drawing. It was a picture of Only Believe. The church didn't save us. God led us here to give us freedom and truly become his children. I grew up here. I took my first steps here, made my first mistakes, made my friends, even broke a bone. I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in the 4th grade. I remember thinking that was the coolest and best moment of my life. Feeling that fire of freedom with a spirit and faith that was uninhibited, unashamed, and professed at a very loud volume. I was the golden child Christian. My peers looked at me like I ran the place and I acted like it too. I was a leader in my years as a student in the youth. The worst thing anyone knew I did was wear jeans with too many holes in them. I was perfect, had it all together, too scared to make mistakes, but really just too good at hiding them. Pastor Tim once told me, "You will never regret not having something to regret." I wish I would have listened. After those wise words, I battled against obedience for just over 4 years. I was angry at the people who loved me, depressed, isolated, lonely, and more stubborn than 100 mules. I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize the joyless, broken, confused, angry young woman looking back at me. I always knew Jesus and I always loved him, but I knew I wasn't listening. So I lied, said everything was fine. The lies weren't lies if no one actually knew the truth. The abuse I endured wasn't real if I didn't tell anyone it was happening. I was mad that I let my life become what it was, but I was even more mad that everyone else was right. But when I really thought about it, I wasn't mad. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I was so used to being one of the 99 that I was waiting for the "I told you so," for the punishment and penance I felt I deserved to pay. Instead, I was met with forgiveness, grace, and a reminder that I am a child of God, fully redeemed and fully justified. God didn't chase me. He didn't chase me because he had never left me. He was standing right there the whole time, quietly knocking, waiting with patience and peace beyond understanding for me to respond. The moment I responded, I felt a weight that God had been waiting to carry leave me. Shame cannot live in a heart God heals. I have much more to go through and much more growth to achieve. This time, I get to do it with God, not against him. This time, I get to know and feel the most important love, the love that comes from the Father. And I get to walk through every open door he has for my life, hand in hand with him, in peace and grace.
All things together like he said he would. Watch him turn our trials and troubles into something good. Oh, there's never been a moment wasted. The waiting is the place where faith is. So watch him work.
I grew up in a split household. At the time, my father didn't go to church, but my stepfather was a preacher. Every Sunday we would go to church. But as I got older, I learned that it's not the church, but the people in the church who hurt you. When I reached my teenage years, my brother was killed in a car accident. I slowly began missing services until I never went at all. I went on to high school, made friends with the wrong crowd. Some of them went on to overdose on drugs. Others ended up in prison. These were the friends I surrounded myself with. As I got older, I thought moving 1,000 miles away would solve all of my problems. I moved to a state where I didn't know anybody and started over, living of the world. When I returned home, I had no friends. I secluded myself, confined in my own house, inside my own head for years, until I got an invite to come to a church I'd attended with my brother years ago. The day I stepped foot back in not only the church, but this church, I stood in the congregation listening to the worship music. Tears in my eyes, I knew this was home. Not only did I come back to the feet of Jesus, but he actually showed up. My dry bones came to life. I've since made some of the best friends I've ever had. I found a purpose on the same worship team that made me weep. I found purpose in the church, but most importantly, I found purpose in my life. Now I'm engaged to be married to my best friend. My daughter loves coming to church. I'm able to spread the gospel into the world. My story's not over, but I know one thing. Jesus took my life bound for darkness, reached out his hand, and pulled me into life.
He's good. And we've seen it. Come on, stand up on your feet this morning. We believe it, we believe it, we believe it. He's good, and we've seen it. When he starts,
reads it, what he says, we believe it, we believe it, we believe it. He's good, and we've seen it. When he starts, he completes it. When he says, we believe it, we believe it. So watch him work all things together like he said he would. Watch him turn our trials and troubles into something good. Oh, oh, oh. There's never been a moment wasted. The waiting is the place where faith is. So watch him work, watch him.
Great testimonies. There's so many more testimonies like that. Yeah, come on. Give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Yeah. Give him a round of applause. Yeah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've been in children's church too long. Thank you, Jesus. You might as well just stay standing for a minute. Listen, today on Easter, the grave is asking you, what happens when you die? But the tomb answers that all depends on what you do with Jesus. It's not difficult. Listen, there's more evidence that the stone was rolled away, that the tomb was empty, and that Jesus was seen by hundreds of people for the 40 days that he was still here after his resurrection than for many events in ancient history that we accept without hesitation. Yet the real issue has never been the lack of evidence. It's what we do with that evidence. Listen, the question Jesus asked Martha is still the same he's asking you. Do you believe this? Those people, those testimonies that you heard, those people had to answer that question. And they said, yes. Yes, they believe, and their lives have been turned around. The deal was this. They had to say yes to Jesus all by themselves. Whatever state they were in, the hopelessness that they might have felt, or the ending of their life that they may have wanted to do, but instead, they took a step of faith and they trusted Jesus, not having all of the answers and not knowing what else to do. They simply said yes. They had to do that alone. But they didn't have to live their Christian life alone, because we're family. We're here for each other. Amen? We're the church. Hallelujah. And that's something to shout about. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all together. You just have to say yes to Jesus. Then you get to choose to repent. And when you do that, guess what? Your grave clothes that you have on right now comes off. Woo, hallelujah. They come off. You get a new name. You get a new date. You become born again. Rebirth. Listen, we can't earn salvation, nor do we deserve it. We can't work towards salvation, nor can we earn it. It is a free gift. And he loved us before we loved him. Hallelujah. Yeah. While we were sinning, he died on that cross for you and I. It's because of him. So today, if you want to say yes, yes to Jesus, not having all the answers, you don't have to figure all that out. All you have to do is say yes. Admit, man, I'm messed up. I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. And it ain't good. Then you have to believe. Believe what this word says. believe, not what I say, but what the Bible says. And then you have to confess. Confess that I'm a sinner. I need help. Please save me from all my sins, all my past. Help me, Jesus. And He'll do it for you. It's that simple. We don't make it hard. If you would like to say yes today, I'm not asking you to come down here. I'm not doing that. I just want you to say yes where you are and raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you right where you are. But, you know, here's the deal. Jesus said yes to His Father when He didn't want to do this for you. If there's another way, God, let this cup pass from me, He said. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. I will do this. And He had to do it alone. And He had to come on before everybody. All the miracles, signs and wonders that He did. All the healings. Everything that He did for 3.5 years. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people watching Him. Man, this dude is amazing. And then all of a sudden, He had to give it all up. Get beat and tortured and be hung on a cross completely naked, embarrassed, ashamed. He did it alone. But you don't have to. So if that's you, say, Pastor Randy, yeah, I want Jesus. Just raise your hand for me. And we're going to pray. He, just acknowledge. Raise your hand wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. I can barely see. It's not about me anyway. It's about Jesus. Anybody say, yep, it's me. It's me. I want this. I want Jesus. Don't be embarrassed. It's not about your friend. It's not about your neighbor. It's just about you and Him. You're the only one going to stand at Judgment Day. Nobody's going to be standing with you. Well, it's because she did. No, it's going to be you and Jesus alone on Judgment Day. Anybody? Count to three and I'm moving on. One, two. You got somebody? Raise their hand. All right. Anybody else? Come on. Somebody else. One, two, 2.5, 2.75. Another one. Thank you. All right. Start over. One, two. Anybody else? Another hand? One, two. He's convicting. He's not condemning, He's convicting. And that's good. Another one. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another one. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Sometimes it's hard to give up. You're not sure what's going to happen. It's okay. We do this by faith. We've all had to do this. All of us has had to do this at one point in our lives. It's okay. One. Two. Do I get to start over? 2 9/16. Three. Okay. Those of you that raise your hands, somebody beside them, just take their hand. Take their hand. Make them feel comfortable and pray this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today as a sinner on my way to hell. But Jesus, I repent of all my sins. I give them to you, and I ask you to wash them as far as the east is from the west. And never remember them again. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and coming back from the grave on Resurrection Sunday so I could live because you died. So I could live as you took my place on that cross. thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Now I am saved. I am born again. I belong to you. The devil has no control over my life any longer. I am covered by the blood. In Jesus' name, I will live for you because you died for me. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Yes. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He got you out of your grave. Praise God. It's your choice. Here's the deal. When we ask God to forgive us, we're going this way. Forgiveness means now we turn and we go this way. We do a 180. We ask for help. Try not to continue to do what caused us to sin. We're here. I want you to make that decision, to make a commitment for 4 Sundays or 4 Wednesdays, whenever you can, or both, praise the Lord, to come to church 4 Sundays, 4 Wednesdays, whatever your work schedule allows, and start seeding, start putting yourself in this environment so you can put the good things in. The good things you put in, the other stuff leaves. This other stuff, we're still gonna have problems. Things are still gonna happen, but it's gonna get easier because Jesus is with you and we're with you as a family. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And those of you who, you're saved, everything is good, you're visiting, maybe you're looking for a church. I met several of you. Hey, I'm looking for a good church. Well, maybe something today that was said, that was done. Maybe you enjoyed freezing in the early morning. You want to come back and have more of that. Nah, we won't do that, but maybe this become your home. We'd love to have you here. Nicole, come on up. This is my awesome, good-looking wife of 35 years this year. Hallelujah. We pastor this great congregation together, and we are now grandparents for the second time. We have a 5-day-old granddaughter, 7-day-old granddaughter now, another one. Praise the Lord. So we're so happy. So let us just pray for you. And on the way out today, we have a big old, I don't know, collage backdrop that you can take pictures with your family for. Make sure you go out there and do that today as well. Okay? You ready to pray? Father, we come before you again. We thank you for the testimonials. We thank you for those people's lives changed. And we thank you for the salvations today. It's just the beginning. A new birth, a reborn. Thank you for their lives, Lord God. The devil lost another one. And I thank you that he will continue to work. We'll watch him work in their lives as he does our lives. Oh God, as our congregation leaves today, I just thank you, Father, that you plead the blood over their lives, that they are blessed everywhere they put their foot, Lord Jesus. Everywhere they put their foot, God, is blessed, Lord God. Their homes are blessed. Their families are blessed. Their kids are blessed. I curse sicknesses and diseases and lives in this congregation right now. I thank you, Father, that healing, Father, come to those that have pain and that are sick. God, right now, we thank you, Father, for testimonials that are still coming in from the miracle services that we had weeks ago. Thank you for those things. Thank you for a great day. I plead the blood, and I thank you for safety in our members and our friends and our family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now go home and finish cooking. Yeah.
All things.
Hallelujah.
Together like you said you would.
Thank you, Jesus.
Watch him turn our trials and troubles into something good. Oh, there's never been a moment wasted. The waiting is the place where faith is. So watch him work, watch him work, watch him work.
all things together like you said you would. Watch him turn our trials and troubles into something good. Oh, there's never been a moment wasted. The waiting is the place where faith is. So watch him work, watch him work.